Hello, people.
Hello again.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
That sounds quite good. We're working through the little course called Practicing the Way, which many have studied together in evenings. And we come to the subject of Scripture, Practicing the Way. And that's our topic for today. What I'm going to do is speak for a few minutes and then give us an opportunity to talk to one another, answering a particular question, and then we'll come back together again for a few more words from me, and then we'll ask each other questions again, and then we'll carry on. So, practicing the way. You will recall the three essentials of be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do as he did. And today we're going to talk about the Bible, the Scriptures. I could not resist looking out for some Scriptures showing relationship between the heart and the Scriptures. And you get the benefits or the consequences of this obsession of mine with the heart. Look at this verse on the right. God speaks to the heart. Remember the disciples walking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. They didn't recognize him, two of them. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us? So the disciples found their hearts were burning on fire when Jesus was talking to them about the Scriptures, about the Old Testament. How many of you get a lovely, burning, warm feeling in your heart when you read the Old Testament?
Sometimes.
Yeah. I'm reading through the Bible this year. I've got as far as the book of Deuteronomy. And as I've been reading through Leviticus and Numbers, I'm struggling to find the heart of God. And my heart is not generally burning. But we need to keep on with this search because it's all there. I'm going to just briefly mention four things. Intentions of our hearts, responses of our hearts, meditation with our hearts, and God's words in our hearts. Shan't go into a lot of detail here, just show you a few scriptures to orientate us. Intentions of our hearts. Interesting verse, isn't there? Hebrews 4 verse 12 says that the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when we read the Bible, the Word of God in written form, it does actually speak to our heart. It does actually reveal to us attitudes and beliefs that we may have deep inside us and challenges us to adjust those attitudes, or maybe even strengthen them. My great exemplar is a chap called Ezra in the Old Testament. He set his heart to seek the law. So in the time of Ezra, which is about 400 or 500 years before Jesus came, there was a great task of rebuilding the nation and rebuilding the temple. And it was on the foundation of the Old Testament scriptures. And Ezra had committed himself to learn all about them and to teach. That was the intention of his heart. And Psalm 119, which you know is the longest psalm, and virtually every single verse talks about God's word or God's law or God's commandments, the things that God has said. He says, with all my heart I will observe your precepts. Precepts means instructions and principles. So there's an enthusiasm there. And then in the same psalm, which Simon read from this morning, Psalm 119 again, with all my heart I've sought you, do not let me wander from your commandments. So seeking God and looking for truth in the Bible are very much connected. One way to find God is to look for him in the Bible. So the intentions of our hearts, to actually connect deeply with what God says about himself and what is in the Bible, very important. Secondly, the responses of our hearts. And here's a verse that has been turned into a chorus, I think. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. Psalm 27, verse 8. So, interesting, isn't it? This talking about the heart as if it's a kind of separate personality within us. In my little book, I talk a lot in detail about that. How in the scriptures, often things are treated as if they're a person, when we would see them just as a force or a virtue. God is so personal, actually, that he puts himself all over the place, puts himself into the Bible, puts himself in our hearts, and he's given us a heart that is able to respond to him, almost like an individual person. So David talks to his heart and listens to his heart. Interesting. Responses. So look at this, Psalm 19. The precepts of the Lord make our heart rejoice. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. So that's a clue about the attitude of coming to Scripture. Be willing to be in awe about God and what he says. Even the structure of the Bible as we have it is awesome. I'm reading a book at the moment looking at the way that the words are put together. It's not true of any other book, the way that there are patterns, mathematical patterns, which would appeal to people like Keith. Lots of sevens, not just mentioning the number seven, but the seventh word and the seventh letter. And it's as though the mind that crafted this we have, that we call the Word of God, is infinitely loving, infinitely clever, infinitely artistic, and has put together a set of words that can bless us, even if we're a professor of mathematics, even if we're a very unintelligent person. We can be blessed. And in awe. Look at this, Psalm 119 again. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law. Now, there's a connection. Your heart can either be covered with fat, which I know is unhealthy, or you can delight in God's law. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? There's a sort of distinction, correlation. Actually, it's good for your heart to have a good relationship with God and a good relationship with the Bible. It's good for your heart. And then there's that verse that we had earlier. Was not our heart burning while he was speaking to us on the road, explaining the scriptures to us? So our hearts can respond to the Bible. So when we read the Bible, we're looking to make a response. We're looking to speak to us, to warm us. Now, I already admitted, confessed, Book of Leviticus has not had that great effect on me, nor the Book of Numbers. But there are little sparks in it where it talks about the heart, funnily enough. And those are things that I lock onto, and I think, yes, there is something important there. So responses of our hearts. Third, meditation with our hearts. I'll put three verses up. There we are, look. All from the Psalms. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. My mouth will speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart will be understanding. So if you want to get understanding about God or about your life or about the world, look at the words of Scripture. Spend time meditating on them, feeding on them. We're going to talk about feeding on them in a minute. And then the third one, I'll meditate with my heart, and my spirit ponders, or my spirit searches. Heart and spirit, when they're mentioned in the Bible, are often very closely connected. If you want to make spiritual development, spiritual progress, attend to your heart. Because actually the Bible talks a lot more about how to look after your heart than it does to look after your spirit. It's very interesting. Very interesting. The heart is the clue. So, meditate upon your bed. So, at night time. Or does it mean that we should always lie on our bed when we're having our quiet time? Soaking prayer. You see, that's soaking prayer. You lie down, you meditate on God, on his words, on scripture, and you're lying down. If you like me, you tend to fall asleep. If you like Christine, you'll have a heavenly vision and you'll get a revelation. Some of us are in between, and you know, there we are. So meditate with our hearts. And then the fourth thing, God's word in our hearts. Keep God's word in your heart. We have this saying, don't we, to learn something by heart. Actually, it's not quite the same, is it? Learn by heart, we mean simply memorize the words, but actually the scripture of learning something by heart, it talks about, well, look, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Now, actually, the Hebrew word there is not heart. It's a word that means guts or internal organs. So actually, God wants his word to be inside our guts as well, our organs, our spleen and our pancreas and our liver and our kidneys. That's amazing, isn't it? That sometimes in scripture where a word is translated as mind, it's the word for kidneys. So actually God cares about your kidneys. Very interesting. And you know where adrenaline comes from? You know, that hormone that gives us vitality and speeds up a heart. Comes from the adrenal gland, which sits on the kidney. So it's all connected. Back to Psalm 119. Your word I've treasured in my heart. How often do we regard God's word as treasures? We think, most valuable thing. I think at the coronation of kings and queens in England, certainly of Queen Elizabeth and Queen Victoria, the Archbishop gives the most valuable thing that earth affords, and he gives it to the Queen. I don't know if that thing happened in our last coronation. Anyone remember that? But that used to be the wording, if I remember history rightly. And look, if you want your steps not to slide, if you want to go on the right pathway, look, the law of your God, keep it in your heart. And there's a great promise which has been fulfilled in all of us who have asked the Lord Jesus to be our Lord and Saviour and to live in our hearts. I'll put my law within them, and in their heart I will write it. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. So God's actually written his law on our heart, which means that within us, as born-again Christians, we have a tendency, a desire to do what God wants, and a tendency to hate what God hates. And we need to build on that, and that is the way he's made us. So there we are, God's word in our hearts. Now we'll come on to Jesus' approach to the Bible in a moment, but what I'd like us to do is to just have chats among ourselves. The question is, how do you relate to the scriptures? How do you relate to the scriptures? How do you relate to the Bible? So there's no right or wrong answer to that, but this is a chance for you, split up into twos or threes or fours, and tell each other or ask each other, how do you relate to the scriptures? You could look at this to help you. How does your heart connect? How do you respond? Do you meditate? Do you think you got God's words in your heart? Are you trying to? Are you struggling? We just have a few minutes of that, and then we'll come back to the next part. Is that okay? Okay, so the big question, how do you relate to the scriptures? So it's about relationship. There's the Bible, here's me, how do I connect with it? Ready, steady, go. Yeah. Thank you so much for cooperating with this. I would invite you to wind up your conversation and return your attention to the front of the hall. It's just an invitation. An offer you can't refuse. Would anyone like to share something they've either said or heard that was inspiring or worthwhile or good to report to everybody? Lovely. Any other thoughts about connection with the Bible and relationship with the Bible?
Very good.
Any other alternatives or any individual eccentricities? One other specific thing about relating to scriptures? Yeah. So reading and listening at the same time. Yes. Mm-hmm. Lovely. How did Jesus approach the Bible? because this course is all about, and I'll give you the answer, I'll give you the answer to this. Jesus' approach to the Bible. We should approach the Bible the way Jesus did. We believe the Bible because we believe Jesus. And I'm taking these from the course book of this. So these are given to me by the author of the book. Very generous. Jesus said Scripture can't be broken. In other words, if Scripture says something, it's absolutely true. And if it promises something, it's going to happen. And Jesus talks about King David, and he says that when David wrote the Psalms that we've got, he was speaking by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is acknowledging that even the Psalms we've got come by God's inspiration through David. Jesus sometimes criticized people. He said, you're making a mistake because you don't know the Scriptures or the power of God. So there's a clue. Knowing God's power is connected with finding God in the Scriptures. And then Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law or the prophets. That's a summary of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. So not only are they true, but I'm the one they're talking about. That's what he said. And then coming back again to that verse in Luke, Jesus showed those two men who were walking, or maybe a man and a woman walking, all things which are written about me, the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. So there's actually three divisions of the Old Testament. There's history and there's prophecy and there's poetry, and they all talk about Jesus. And then he opened their mind to understand the Scriptures. So one of the things we need to do when we read the Bible is to ask God and Jesus to open our mind to see and to hear what he's saying. It's a good part of the approach to Scripture. So Jesus approached the Bible with great reverence, with great expectation, with great satisfaction, and very regularly. The Jesus way. How can we read the Bible as if we're an apprentice of Jesus? An apprentice is someone who's following and learning and doing the stuff and learning a trade. And very much in the course that we've been looking at, it's the concept of being an apprentice of Jesus. Come with the heart of an apprentice. In other words, an apprentice doesn't think I know it all. He's here because I want to learn new stuff. I want to learn how to do things well and properly, like an apprentice engineer or an apprentice craftsman. Choose the attitude of Jesus, which was respect and expectation and delight. Get thoroughly familiar with the Scriptures. That involves actually reading them and actually taking the time to read all of them. Learn how to interpret the Scriptures, because there are lots of different interpretations, but my approach is, number one, look for the heart of God, and number two, what is it saying about Jesus? And if you approach the Scriptures with those two questions, the heart of God, what does it say about Jesus, you're not going to go very far wrong. You'll still make loads of mistakes. I make lots of mistakes in my interpretation of Scripture, and do you know what? That's okay. Look for the heart of the Father of Jesus, and look, allow the Scriptures to shape our values. Our worldview, our opinions, our choices. That's a whole sermon. But our whole attitude to life needs to be based upon these principles, God's heart. And treat the Scriptures as spiritual food. How many of you eat your Scriptures? I've never tried eating this, number one, because if I eat it, then I can't read it any longer. And number two, it probably doesn't taste very nice. But I don't know how many of you on the course have actually gone to this book called Eat This Book. There's a version of the Bible called The Message, written by Eugene Peterson, who's a professor of theology in America. I've got The Message. I've also got this book called Eat This Book. See, I get lots of star points for that, for actually, you know, getting one of the books that's recommended in this course.
Keep it in the fridge.
That's right, or the freezer. The Art of Spiritual Reading. So, eat this book. Now, those of you who know the Bible may know that there's three occasions when someone was told to eat a book of God's words. There was two Old Testament prophets called Ezekiel and Jeremiah, and there was one guy in the New Testament who wrote the book of Revelation, whose name was John. And this is very quick, but God's word is so rich that in the Bible we have references to hearing God's word, we have references to seeing God's word, chewing on God's word, tasting God's word, and walking and running in God's word. Here's a quote from an 11th century monk. Reading puts the solid food into our mouths. Meditation chews it and breaks it down. Prayer obtains the flavor of it. And contemplation is the very sweetness which makes us glad and refreshes us. Guigo II, a European monk in the 12th century. So there you are. We're now the 21st century. So that was 900 years ago. Look at that. And that's something we can do with the Bible. We read, we meditate. In other words, look at all the different aspects. Think about it. Approach it with your heart. Ask God what it's saying. Speak it out loud. Prayer, when we talk to God about what we've just seen and heard and thought about, and contemplation, in this book and in the course, contemplation is the putting into practice what we've read. So if God says, I love such and such, then we think, well, if God loves that, then I will as well. God loves being honest, so I'm going to love being honest and telling the truth and not lying. So eat this book. Now, there we are. Here's another activity for us, another 2 or 3 minutes in our little groups to carry on the conversation. The big question is, how is your diet of Scripture? How is your diet of Scripture? We read the Bible as an apprentice of Jesus. How is your diet of Scripture? In other words, how often are you eating? In what way are you eating? What do you enjoy most? How often do you have meals? Do you like eating with other people? Just think about this with your Bible as if it's food. How are you treating it as food? Are you fasting from it for long periods of time? In other words, not reading it very often. Or are you eating it regularly? So just be a little bit creative. How am I treating my Bible as food? So just 2 or 3 minutes. In the similar groups, just I won't confuse you by asking you to form different groups. Go back to where you were. Thank you so much for sharing your ideas about eating the Bible. I invite you to turn your attention to the front of the hall again. Are there any tasty bits of gossip? I mean, sorry. Any important things to feedback from what you just heard? Anyone have any ideas or metaphors or insights or habits or ideas? Eating the Bible? Ah, some of it's harder to digest than others. It's one of my motivations for having learned classical singing, because it gives an opportunity to sing the words of Scripture in a culture where God's words and the Bible and the Christian faith is becoming increasingly marginalised and even disapproved of. Yeah. So, any other tidbits? Come on, what were you talking about? Favourite verses, favourite foods. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? Some verses resonate with us. So what's the equivalent? If the Bible is healthy food, what's the equivalent in spiritual terms of an unhealthy food that we should avoid? Yeah, things that God has made that people have altered in a laboratory or a factory. Yeah, interesting, yeah. Any final thought? Because if you don't say something, I'll have to carry on with the rest. Okay, eat this book. So these are the thoughts that I've gathered from the course book. So these, I don't claim any credit for these. Meeting Jesus through the Bible. Read the Bible in order to meet Jesus on the page and be formed to be like him. So he draws the distinction. We're not just reading to be informed, in other words, told information, but we're reading the Bible in order to be formed, in other words, developed and changed. So we read it as an apprentice of Jesus. In other words, we try and do it the way that Jesus did it and the way that Jesus would love us to do it. Look for Jesus. There's lots of references about Jesus in the Old Testament as well as the New. There's predictions, there's allegories, there's parallels, and there's characters who remind us of Jesus, like Joseph in the Old Testament, for example, who was sold for 30 pieces of silver and rescued his brothers and so on. This is his idea. As you read, remember that the author himself is in the room with you, even looking over your shoulder. So God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, looking at the page with us as we're reading and wondering what we'll make of it. And I wish they'd be a bit more explicit sometimes when I'm asking them to tell me something, but, you know, keep on asking. You're reading with Jesus. Read the Bible. It's more about an attitude than a technique. So it's, I'm coming to this because I want to hear God and I want to find something more. Please show me. And there's a lovely verse, isn't there, in Psalm 119. It says, open your word to me, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your word. I think it's in that Psalm. Jesus will speak. He'll highlight stuff. He might stir up your imagination. He might put something in your memory. And he might speak into your present and your future. So lots of opportunities. This is about Jesus. And pray for Jesus to meet you on the page. That's the sort of starting and end. And again, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Preparing to read. Here we are. Find a good place that we won't be distracted. Find a good time. Better to have a routine so that you know, well, at certain times in the day, I will be spending time with God. Like before breakfast or before bedtime, whatever suits you better. But have a routine. Then you haven't got to make a different decision every day about, oh, when shall I do the Bible reading today? Find a good time. Make a plan. Lectio Divina. We used to have a minister called John Rowe who taught us a lot about Lectio Divina. And which is basically you have a passage, you read it, sometimes with other people, read it again, read it a different version. Think about it. What does it say to you? Talk to one another and listen to what the other person is saying. That sort of stuff. The lectionary, that's a posh name for a plan of Bible reading. Read through the Bible like some of us are doing this year. I won't tell you how many times I've read through the Bible because I'm not trying to impress you, but I have read through it quite a lot of times, but not for the last 3 years systematically. So I'm on that this year. Hear it read aloud. We heard that mentioned. Here's someone else reading it. I heard the name of Poirot and David Suchet, who reads. We mentioned his name in our group too. You can get recording of someone with a beautiful voice reading the whole of the Bible. And that's very good, especially for those who are not very good at reading, but you know how to press a button to listen to somebody. Preparing to read. Begin by settling your body in God's presence. So just calm down and be getting that frame of mind where, okay, I'm listening to God now. I'm just letting the distraction go away. I'm focusing on this. Pray. Pause to be still. Breathe slowly. And I would say as you breathe slowly, focus on your heart. Think, God, I'm going to receive your truth into my heart now. And then start reading. read. So listening to God, I showed you this slide before. Mother Teresa, God speaks in the silence of the heart. Listening is the beginning of prayer. Often we think of prayer as just, oh, that's going to God to ask him for things. No, it's much more than that. Quieten, breathe, focus on your heart, be open, use your Bible, receive, thank God. So that's the one I highlighted in gold. Good. Thank God for what he's shown us.
I listen to a lot of YouTube.
It's absolutely brilliant if the last thing you hear before you fall asleep is God's words, and the first thing you hear when you wake up is God's words. That's brilliant. Yeah. So those, what were those two? Sleep whispers?
Yeah, if you just
and the other one?
If you Google on YouTube, sleep scriptures.
Sleep scriptures.
Like hours and hours of people just reading out the promises of God. Have you listened to music in the background or sometimes rain just to calm you down?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or sleep whispers.
So, practicing the way, be with Jesus, become like him, do as he did. One of the big things he did was engaging with the scriptures. And we've got even more scripture than he had, so we're greatly blessed. We've got not only the scriptures that he read, but the scriptures that his disciples wrote about him.